According to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our growth comes through the Scriptures. Join me this morning in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, verses 7 through 18, the final section of the book. A paragraph that I've titled, "How's it going? See you soon." All right. It's the wrap-up of the epistle. It's Paul who's letting the Colossians know how the things are with him, with his team, with everybody in Ephesus, the location of this epistle's origin. The section begins with a remarkable paragraph structure for these verses. Three things that are being communicated: everything concerning me, everything concerning us, and everything concerning here. The here things, the me things, and the us things. All of the with respect to me things, the concerning us things, and all of the here things. This is what Tychicus and Onesimus are going to be informing the Colossian believers about. Verses 7, 8, and 9. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. He will inform you. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances. Those are the according to us things. And that he may encourage your hearts. And with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation here. All of the according to here things that will also be a part of the information that they convey. So Tychicus and Onesimus are going to be conveying information. Everything about Paul, everything about Paul and his team, and everything about the location where they are. All of the according to here things, which is traditionally Rome, but I believe, that Ephesus is the better point of origin for the prison epistles and the aspects there. All right, so before we do get started this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing upon our time of study. Shall we pray? Almighty Father, we come before you this morning, thankful for your faithfulness, thankful for your truth, rejoicing in the privilege that we have to assemble together, to study, to show ourselves approved. And I pray for your blessing upon this time, that you would open our eyes, that we might see the applications that can be made as we study the benefits of keeping other ministries informed about what our ministry is dealing with, as we fellowship between lampstands, as we pray for one another and love one another and serve one another in a variety of these capacities. I pray we also learn the lessons that you have for us and how couriers can become communicators and how ministries can build and can become entirely new ministries down the road. So thank you for your faithfulness in these things and for these wonderful closing verses of the chapter and of the book. We thank you, Father, and we praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, there really is a significant blessing in these verses to close this chapter, and I think the tendency to rush through to the end of the book and just kind of gloss over it or dismiss it, it's a bunch of names and who cares, and they say hi, all right, that's great. Why is Aristarchus sending a greeting? What link is there between Aristarchus and Colossae? Why would he care about them so much so as to send a greeting? And the other men that are mentioned here, why are they sending greetings? And the men who don't send greetings, why are they not sending greetings? Are they still there? Have they departed? These are some of the puzzles that we chew on, we mull over. I don't know that we have any permanent answers, but we can consider what the likely answers might be as we then connect it to our own circumstances here. When we send greetings to other lampstands in our association, in our fellowship, other like-minded local churches of our teaching doctrinal tradition. And so as we work our way through these things, I hope to really expand upon them and highlight the practical ways that Austin Bible Church can apply this. And we can identify who is our Tychicus, who is our Onesimus, who is our Aristarchus, who is our Demas, and all these other names that we come across, and realizing what they represent for our own application, I think, is a neat procedure. Anyway, Last week, I showed you some color diagrams on this and showed you the, in Greek at least, where the parallelism is in the according to me things, the according to us things, and the according to here things. I'm not going to go back and do that again, but we will highlight the fact that it's a pretty comprehensive, it's three separate items, and each one of them is attached with a pos, with an every or an all. So Paul doesn't want Tychicus just to say a few things about Paul. He wants Tychicus to say everything about Paul, all of the me things, all of the according to me things, which means Paul has a degree of transparency about himself, about his circumstances, about his thoughts and his purposes, his ministry in all of these regards. And I think there's other verses where he makes that clear to Timothy as well, that Paul has been an open book with the men that he trains, with the men and the women that he works with on his team. And that should be a pattern for us as well. So when we talk about the universal nature of this, it says, all my affairs, all my things, as to everything related to me, what is he withholding? Nothing. And then in verse 8, there's another everything about all our circumstances. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances. And you should put an all in there as well. It's the us things. It's all of the us things. And then the here things in verse 8. They will inform you about the whole situation here. The whole enchilada, right? All of it. There's nothing if the Colossians ask, well, what about this? What about that? We expect that Tychicus and Onesimus are going to they're not going to hide anything. They're not going to withhold anything. They're going to tell the whole circumstance, every detail, including, you know, the embarrassing stuff. Yeah, Paul's in jail. And here's some of the other things. And because he's in jail, there's some people with some false motivations that are preaching Christ. And Paul just laughed about it, said, hey, at least Christ is being preached, even if it's for wrong reasons, Christ is being preached. And that might be a little bit of an embarrassing thing to talk about, but Paul doesn't have any problem talking about it. He writes about it. He puts it in the book of Philippians, and we can learn from those examples too. Anyway, everything, and that's the totality of it. And just one side trip, I think, when Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, you followed my teaching, my conduct, you know the verse I'm talking about? 2 Timothy 3:11. You followed my teaching, and that's only the first item in the list. Conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings. There's 9 items on that list. And if we limit the seminary exposure to just the first item, if seminary is teaching and only teaching, then we're doing a disservice to these young men that are preparing for ministry. That's why in a local church seminary, we have the opportunity to give the academics, to give the teaching, to provide the doctrine, to teach the Greek and the Hebrew and the systematic theology and all of that. But you also have conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance. These are items that need to be on a syllabus for seminary training. Persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me. So I think this is a good listing for us to take back now to Colossians 4, when Tychicus is supposed to communicate to the Colossian believers the all things concerning Paul. The all things concerning Paul has to include this list of 9 items right here. Paul's teaching, Paul's conduct, Paul's purpose, Paul's faith, all of these items. Tychicus and Onesimus have to relay that information, convey those circumstances. All right. All of the me things. This is a phrase we saw previously in Philippians 1:12. As to my circumstances, that they worked out for the greater glory of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you know it? And maybe we wouldn't have picked those circumstances for ourselves, but because God picked out those circumstances, and God knows better than we do, then he takes us where we need to be, and it ends up glorifying Christ all the more. It'll come back again in Ephesians 6:21. The idea of making something known, causing somebody to know something. We reviewed that as well. The verb for parakaleo, to exhort, to encourage, to comfort. Very common for Paul, but only twice in Colossians. Only twice in Colossians. So it's a verb we're well aware of. It's a verb that goes well with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete, the Paraclete, right? The Parakletes. And you have the verb parakaleo, you have the noun paraklesis, you got all the activity of exhortation, which is exhortation, comfort, encouraging, or sometimes all of the above. It's like a three-headed, what was that dog in mythology that had the three heads, right? Cerberus, or Fluffy in the Harry Potter books. The three-headed dog that is paraklesis. Because it is encourage, it is comfort, it is exhort. And if this is your spiritual gift, and we have some in this church that have identified parakletos as their spiritual gift, and it's not standing in front, it's coming alongside. It's walking up beside a brother, walking up beside a sister with an arm on the shoulder, coming, calling alongside, saying, hey, come over here. And if they try to pull away, you yank them closer. All right? And you're side by side with them. And you say, come on. Okay, that's the encouragement. Or, you got this. You can do this. The Lord's faithful. That's the comfort. Or, knock it off. You know better than that. That's the exhortation. And either way, it's side by side. It's coming alongside. It's a personal word. It's a one-on-one message. It's not like the shepherd or the pastor where you're broadcasting, you're standing in front and you're broadcasting to an entire flock. The parakaleo gift is a communication gift. But it's one-on-one in a very intimate, very private kind of way. So we can appreciate that. If you missed the chart, I don't remember if it was Sunday or Wednesday when I showed this, but and it was, whichever day it was, that was when I learned that the thing is broken. My little shortcut link is broken. But the... Anyway, you can do this with any search that you do, and any time that you want to see how common it is, just take the word encourage there. Find out that underneath that verb encourage is the verb parakaleo. Just select that and do a search, a Bible search. So there's all your results, 109 results. And if you want, you can limit it from all passages. You can limit it only to the Pauline passages, Romans to Philemon. So there's your 54 results and 54 verses. And that gives you a list of verses you can read through. And in pretty short order, you can scan down through those, starting with the first four in Romans. Or if you're visual, there's a nice charts button there at the top. Click on your charts button, and then you can see a graphical representation. And this, just at a glance, tells me, oh, wow, Colossians, that's the only place it shows up in Colossians. It's not a big deal in Colossians. But 2 Corinthians? Boy, howdy, 2 Corinthians, that's the book of comfort, the book of exhortation, the book of encouragement. In fact, we're supposed to comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves are comforted from God. So I'm not shocked that there's nearly 20 usages in 2 Corinthians there. All right, well, there's the opportunity there. We're going to do some more of this, too, by the way. I learned now how to do a show and tell of the app, so I can put the Faith Life app on my Windows 10 desktop, and I can show through the projector, and I can show through YouTube for folks that are watching. We can do some demonstrations of Faith Life and Logos both with the phone apps that you guys are very fond of. I've noticed if my informal survey tells me that about 90% prefer the app, and a very small number actually use the computer program. And so I need to learn how to use the app so I can teach the app and demonstrate that as well. So stay tuned. We may do a little bit of that on Wednesday night. All right. So this is the verb for exhorting, encouraging, comforting. And these couriers, when they come, they're going to encourage their hearts. They're going to comfort their hearts, or they're going to exhort their hearts, or all of the above. They're going to parakaleo the hearts of the Colossian believers when they arrive. And as if having a book of the Bible with them and handing them a scroll that is hot off the presses, you know, think about how awesome that would be to be a first century church and receive a letter from the Apostle Paul, and you realize when you're done reading the scroll, this gets put in the Bible. this is not just for you. This is something that's for, you know, believers 2,000 years from now are going to be reading this epistle and are going to be edified by it, because it's a part of the living and abiding Word of God. It's part of the canonized Greek text of our New Testament. And so it's not enough to simply receive a book of the Bible. They're also going to have these two messengers, these two couriers. And these couriers have the parakaleo blessing, and to not just hand a thing and walk off. They're going to hand it to them, and they're going to hang out there for a period of time to explain and answer questions and report and to be the sanctified tattletales that they are. Okay, not tale-bearing in the carnality of gossip. Is not gossip when Paul orders them to communicate these things. It's not gossip when you're sharing these prayer requests and these concerns and these needs and all the circumstances related to ministry. Even the failures. When Demas loves this present age and runs off to Thessalonica and abandons Paul, that gets reported on. That's not gossip. That's the blessing to be able to get the news out there that Demas needs prayer. Demas needs a whole lot of prayer. All right, so this is what they're going to be doing. Let's look at lucky and useful, the two names of these guys. Tychicus means lucky, Onesimus means useful. And Tychicus, or Tukikos, I guess... to be better in a Greek pronunciation, the upsilon is an oo sound and the accent is on the final syllable. So, Tukikos, if we're going to pronounce it in a Greek way, Tychicus or Tychicus in English. As those U's become wise, it's a mystery to me, but from Greek through the filter of Latin into English, so many U's become wise in this. And that's a bit of a mystery, but same thing happens with the word mystery. It's a U in Greek, it's a Y in Latin, and comes a Y in English for mystery. But let's talk about lucky. Tychicus was a companion of Paul's on the third missionary journey. We can read about him in Acts 20. In fact, he's featured there at the beginning of the chapter and later in chapter 21, and then even all the way as late as chapter 27. And because of those references and no other clues in between, there's a lot of assumptions that get made as far as him being with Paul that entire time. So if he's mentioned in chapter 20 and then he's mentioned again in chapter 27, and there's no mention of him in the meantime, but there's a lot of we and us and passages like that, then it's probably a safe bet to lump him in with a crowd to include him in the various others that are a part of the we, okay? The we and the us passages in the book of Acts. They're critical. We pay attention to those because that's when the author himself joins Paul's traveling team. And Luke becomes a companion with Paul during the we portions of the book of Acts. So turning to Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to go to verse 1 rather than verse 3. Companion of Paul's on the third missionary journey. So we don't have any reference to him early on missionary journey 1 when he's traveling with Barnabas, or on missionary journey 2 when he's traveling with Timothy and Silas. However, it is on missionary journey number 2 that Paul and Silas and Timothy go through Thessalonica. Because after they leave Philippi, they go to Thessalonica, then Berea. That's the second missionary journey. And it's useful. You got to keep these things in your mind. It's useful that although he's not mentioned in the second missionary journey, that tour, that missionary tour, went through his hometown. And then he shows up on the third missionary journey. Well, how did that happen? Okay. And it's similar to Timothy. Timothy is not mentioned by name in the first missionary journey, but it went through his hometown. And so then on the second missionary journey, when Paul comes back to Derbe, comes back to Lystra, the Galatian region there, Timothy joins him in the team. Does that mean that he observed the events of that first journey, even though he wasn't mentioned by name? Most likely. How could he not be? If he's a believer and if he's positive to doctrine and the Lord brings the Apostle Paul through town, to me it's much more unthinkable that he was oblivious to the whole thing. It's much more natural that he was present and observed it all. And so we can say the same thing about Tychicus. We can say the same thing about Trophimus. They were both natives of Thessalonica. They were both Macedonians, natives of Thessalonica. So, companion of Paul's on the third missionary journey, Acts chapter 20, and this is these are the circumstances of Paul's departure from Ephesus. After the uproar had ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and when he had exhorted them and taken his leave of them, he left to go to Macedonia. And so there was an uproar. We're going to see some of that uproar at a point. We'll see more of it when we get to Aristarchus, the third name that's mentioned here in this chapter, because Aristarchus was featured in that uproar prior to Acts 20 and verse 1. Okay? So when he had gone through those districts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. And there he spent 3 months. And it doesn't say so, but we know he wrote the book of Romans. Okay? He wrote the book of Romans. So if you want to just add that in there, he left to go to Macedonia. When he had gone through those districts, put a little footnote in there, he wrote the book of 2 Corinthians. He finished the book of 2 Corinthians. He started 2 Corinthians while he was still in Ephesus. When he had gone through those districts and given them much exhortation and wrote the book 2 Corinthians, he then came to Greece. He came fast on the heels of the epistle itself. And there he spent 3 months and he wrote the book of Romans. And when a plot was formed against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. That means he's going to head back up north again. And so really, it's a big walk around and in an arch. It'd be shorter to sail across, but he's got reasons. He was accompanied by Sopater of Berea. Who's this guy? Okay. He's traveling with Paul at this segment, but he doesn't send greetings to the Colossians. The son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus. Traveling with Paul, Aristarchus, okay? He will be sending greetings to the Colossians. And Secundus of the Thessalonians. You know what? I've been misspeaking this entire time. He's a native of Asia. He's not a native of Thessalonica. All right. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting ahead of myself because it's Aristarchus and Secundus that are the natives of Thessalonica. All right. Keep reading. The Bible will bail me out. Aristarchus, who we will see in Colossians 4. He's mentioned in Colossians 4, and he sends the greetings in Colossians 4. Secundus is not. Why is Secundus traveling, like Sopater, traveling, but not sending greetings to the Colossians? Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, also of Derbe, we know. And Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. There we go, finally. They were natives of Asia, which is what the slide says. Along with Trophimus, he's declared to be a native of Asia. So that's where he's from. That's his origin. That's where he grows up. Doesn't mean he has to live there his whole life, but that's where he's from. Like, I'm a Washingtonian. I was born in Washington State, right? Or a Seattleite, born in the city of Seattle. Or for a little while there, I was Chaz, because the autonomous zone of Chaz had a little section there of Capitol Hill, and that's where my hospital was, where I was born, on Capitol Hill. Thankfully, though, we got Chaz back, so I'm still an American citizen, and my birth certificate doesn't have to be changed. Anyway, my passport, I think, is still in order. So Trophimus and Tychicus are natives of Asia, which means they are, Ephesus is the capital of the province of Asia. That's the region there where we have the seven churches of Revelation. It's nearby. It's the origin of where Colossae was founded, because missionaries from Asia went to Colossae and founded that church there. All right. A companion of Paul's on the third missionary journey. This is Tychicus. And we're going to have references to Tychicus in various places as we work our way down through even as late as 21:18. Let me just read a few more verses here before we scroll down further. So there's a team. He was accompanied by Sopater, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Timothy, Tychicus, Trophimus. All right, so he's got seven companions. Paul has seven companions when he leaves Greece, when he leaves Corinth, headed back to Macedonia on his way to Asia. Paul plus seven. But these had gone on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. These had gone on ahead. So these, lots of fights about who these are. Is it all seven, or is it, it's only the last two, I think. These, Tychicus and Trophimus, they were advance party. They were sent ahead of time. These two, Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia, but these had gone on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. Notice something else that happens there. Luke joins them as well, because this is where the us reappears. The us reappears. It had come in Troas. It had disappeared in Philippi. It shows up again as they are crossing back to Troas. And so, along with Paul and these seven, you add Luke to your studies. These had gone on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. And we sailed from Philippi. Of course, that's where picked up Luke again. Luke had been in Philippi the whole time. We sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. All right, so this is the itinerary. This is the third missionary journey. This is, they're taking the funds to Jerusalem. Paul's in a hurry to get there before Pentecost. This is now the days of unleavened bread. So how much time do they got to get there? Okay. Anyway, we're here today in the days of unleavened bread, right? This is Palm Sunday. We're approaching Easter. We've already had the Jews have already observed. They're in the midst now of observing their Passover. All right. Now, you have all the we's and all this. I'm going to skip through this. Get down to 21:18. Unless that's a mistake. Yeah, there's the us. The following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. He greeted them. And really, that's as far as we can take it. When you get past that point in Acts 21, you start searching, and you're going to struggle to find additional references that might include the we, the us, the additional people that might include Timothy, that might include Luke, that might include Aristarchus, that might include Tychicus. Only by name, the only one that's mentioned again after this point of time, well, there's an objection that's made to some Gentiles that allegedly were brought into the temple. And then there's a mention that's made of Aristarchus joining Paul on the boat when Paul was put in chains and packed off to Rome. So we'll see that when we get to the Aristarchus study. All right. The main thing we know about Tychicus is that he is a courier. He's the epistle courier for Colossians and for Ephesians. But we know more than just that he's a courier. I think he also was a courier for the epistle to the Laodiceans, that we don't know about, but it's not in our Bibles. But Paul says he's sending a letter to them as well. Well, who's carrying that? So this makes Tychicus now a triple epistle courier. A courier for Colossians, a courier for Ephesians. So he's not mentioned as a co-author. He doesn't get top billing like Timothy does. Timothy is a co-author in six of Paul's epistles. Tychicus is never listed as a co-author, but he is a courier. He's the one that's going to deliver the letter, and he's the one that's going to encourage your hearts when he gets there. So he's an epistle courier for Colossians and Ephesians. He's also a possible relief for Titus in Crete, and he's a definite relief for Timothy in Ephesus. And these are other throwaway verses that get ignored and glossed over. They're near the end of the book. People are in a hurry to move on. And they fail to see there's a real point being made here. And if we put two and two together, we can come to four. And we can realize, wait a minute, four. That means something. It's not just two and two. What's the significance of this? How does a courier become a pastor? Because he's the possible relief for Titus in Crete. When you look at Titus 3:12, you get all these instructions not to read the whole book of Titus for you this morning, but he sent Titus to Crete as a drill sergeant. He's a traveling troubleshooter. He puts out fires. He's hard-nosed. Timothy's more timid and quiet about it, but Titus is a bulldog, right? I think every lampstand needs a bulldog or two, okay? Sometimes the bulldogs go head-to-head. That's all right. We need a couple of bulldogs. Titus was the bulldog. And so, speak confidently. Avoid foolish controversies. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. Okay? Biblically, you're allowed to call the perverts perverts. Okay? Our generation struggles, but that's another story. Now, when I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Now, there's a lot of information just contained right there, but when we take this, you know, Paul's intended winter at Nicopolis, and we try to fit it into the book of Acts, we can't fit it in the book of Acts, but we can fit it in after the book of Acts. We can fit it in like we do with 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus. We place those after Acts 28. We place those as a fourth missionary journey after his release from Rome. We start to synchronize 1 Timothy, then Titus, then 2 Timothy last in that order for a reason, and we'll show you that reason here. This is part of the reason, actually. So who's he going to send? Is Paul going to send Artemas or Tychicus? Which man is ready for ordination? Which man is ready to go and take over the churches that are in Crete? Okay, because sometimes you got a man in training and he thinks he's ready, and the old man says, no, not yet. Okay? And then there's another man who's humble and who would not promote himself. And Paul says, you're the one that's ready. And he dispatches him and he sends him forth. So it's either going to be Artemas or Tychicus. And Paul has yet to make up his mind on this. He's yet to inquire of the Lord and determine the will of God on this. Ends up being Artemas. But we only know that because of the later epistle that's sent to 2 Timothy, that's sent to Timothy in Ephesus. But when I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. All right? What's the first general order? You don't leave your post until you're properly relieved, right? Titus can't leave Crete until his relief is on station. Until either Artemas or Tychicus arrive. Only then is he free to depart and join Paul at Nicopolis. So this tells us something about Tychicus, that he may have been, in the past, a courier, a messenger, a guy that would tell you how things are going. But in the process of that ministry, what's happened? I think he's grown. I think we see a training. We see that he's got now the theological grounding, he can take over Titus's duties, which is essentially an overseer with multiple elders under him. He is an apostolic representative. He's not an apostle by gift, but he represents an apostle in supervising plural elders. And Tychicus is now prepared for that duty. And I think that's marvelous. And one of the best things to do for training for other duties is be involved in other duties. And, Ralph had me serve as a deacon, and I was teaching Sunday school and teaching fifth and sixth graders in the Sunday school and teaching kids. And I tell you, they ask marvelous questions. And you got to, when you think you're ready to answer questions, try teaching fifth graders, right? And you find out you're not smarter than a fifth grader. And you got to answer those questions. And then that's all. And I was the nursery deacon. All right, are you above that? Are you too prideful to change diapers? What are you doing? Anyway, honestly, I don't think I changed any diapers in the nursery, but I schedule the nursery workers. Yeah, I might have. No, I don't think I did. Unless it was my own kid, but I probably didn't even do that. Ask Sharon after class. All right. But the point being, I've been told, years ago, there was a man that wouldn't teach in the Sunday school. And he said, I'm going to be a pastor teacher. I'm not here to teach children. And I said, oh, Well, then you got some humility issues to learn first before you'll ever be a pastor. Told him that right to his face. Okay? Anyway. So it's either Artemis or Tychicus that's going to be sent. When we get to 2 Timothy, we find out, then there's other instructions as well. I've decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help Zenas the lawyer. Did you know lawyers can get saved? That's amazing. At least one, Zenas, got saved. But he needs help. Okay? And Titus is the guy to help him. And Apollos, help them on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. All the traveling funds they need. They got a blank check. They're passing through town. Give them anything they need. All right, let's look at 2 Timothy 2:12. It's chapter 4. Thank you. There we go. Chapter 4. All right. In the closing descriptions here, not only is it the last thing of this chapter, it's the last thing of this book, it's the last thing Paul ever writes. This is the 13th and final Pauline epistle, the final chapter, the final word. He's about to be executed. He says, make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Which is interesting. I wouldn't have associated Thessalonica with worldliness. I would have thought Rome or Corinth or some of those places. But anyway, Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. By the way, these names, Demas is no longer around with Paul during Paul's Roman imprisonment. And yet he gives greetings to the Colossians. That's a problem if Colossians has its origin in the Roman imprisonment. It's not a problem if Colossians has its origin in an Ephesians imprisonment on the third missionary journey. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Well, that makes sense if he spent a winter in Nicopolis and then went up the coast to Dalmatia after that. It helps us to order that Titus is in between the two Timothy epistles. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. So our best candidate for the amanuensis, the scribe that wrote 1 and 2 Timothy for Paul, had to have been Luke. If only Luke is with me. And it makes sense also because when you examine the Greek, the pastoral epistles are different slightly from all of Paul's other epistles, and those differences can be attributed to a Luke flavor that filters into the writings. And I think Paul gave Luke a lot more freedom to express things as he was putting quill to parchment. Anyway, only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. And this is the same Mark that's with Paul already when he's writing Colossians. Because Mark is going to send his greetings, and Mark might even be traveling to Colossae. We'll get to that later on here in chapter 4. But pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. This is a clue that Mark is not with him, that Paul hopes that Timothy can bring him along. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. All right, so now we have it solved. Because it ended up being the other guy that went to Crete, and now Tychicus was sent to Ephesus. So one guy goes to relieve Titus, the other guy goes to relieve Timothy. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. What would Paul have done with Logos Bible software? To have all of his parchments on his phone, to have every manuscript he'd ever written, to have every book, to have the contents. I mean, Alexandria had a great library. Ephesus had a great library. The two largest libraries, Tarsus had a great library, of course, Jerusalem. And all of those ancient libraries would have fit on his phone if he'd had a 21st century smartphone. Imagine. It's amazing. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Notice he doesn't take vengeance for himself. We're commanded not to. Don't return evil for evil, but return a blessing instead. Leave room for the wrath of God. But don't ignore him. He's a trouble, right? Be on guard against him yourself. For he vigorously opposed our teaching. See, there's so much here that we get and if we pass over them, we just miss them. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. And we have to wonder, Priscilla and Aquila, part of the time they lived in Rome, part of the time they lived in Corinth because they got kicked out of Rome. Then they were able to return to Rome when Paul was writing the book of Romans. But now we find that they're in Ephesus. They've been in Ephesus a couple times. They were in Ephesus years ago when Apollos needed straightened out. And Paul wants Timothy to greet them. Erastus remained at Corinth. You know who Erastus was? He was the city treasurer. He held a political office for the Romans for the Roman government in Corinth. So whenever somebody tells me that, a believer shouldn't be involved in politics, I say, well, what about Erastus? He was a Roman government official in Corinth. But Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. That's Trophimus, who was the fellow Asian with Tychicus. It's also another clue that the gift of healing was already disappearing. Because why did he leave Trophimus sick in Miletus? Why didn't the Apostle Paul just heal him? Also, these names aren't mentioned in the... they're not sending greetings to the Colossians. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, also Pudens and Linus and Claudia and the brethren. See, this is what happens when you have a training ministry, when you have a seminary, you have different crops, right? Classes, okay? Different groups of students over the years. And so Pastor Dan was in one crop, but Pastor Cliff was in another crop, and other men before Cliff and others after, and these are the different stages, right? Same thing in Ukraine. One thing I'm really looking forward to is that, so I teach Daniel and Revelation every 2 years. It's a two-year school. I get new students every time. And rarely do I get a chance to visit with some of the old students, but I get to this time. I get to take a third week, and I get to visit with some former students. And I get to go and travel, and there's a wonderful tandem because there's a husband and wife team from just about 4 years ago, I want to say. Young couple, younger. They were in a class younger than the class Bob and Elvira were in. Okay, young couple. They were just dating then. Now they're married with a kid. And then there was another couple years prior, before Bob and Elvira, probably way back. Okay. And now all four of them are in the same town, the town called Chernigiv. And the first couple is the senior pastor of the church, and now the young man has come alongside as his assistant pastor, a young man. So they got their own Paul Timothy thing going on there. And all four of them, the men and the women, are all students, all graduate alumni of the Word of God Bible College. And so I get a chance to go visit with them, to meet their kids, to meet their family, to meet their church, to speak in their church if they let me. All these things. And this is what we get. This is the blessing and benefit of seeing what happens as we communicate with other churches, as we share in the prayer needs and the fellowship and all of the glory that has when we have this opportunity. So yeah, Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, Claudia. Claudia's a girl's name. Who are these people? Okay? We don't know, really. These are the new students. This is the new crowd. This is the crowd that's just now starting to join with Paul, because most of the old crowd are gone. They're in the ministry. They're doing things. In fact, Tychicus isn't even a courier anymore. He's now taken over churches. Do we see that progression? We see that growth? I think it's a glorious thing. And so that's why we keep track of folks here like we do. And stay in touch with Cliff and Dan and LaRosa. Stay in touch with Bob and with so many more. George Dykeman and Robert Rice and some of these other names you maybe don't even know. Stan Newton. some of these other names. It's exciting stuff. So he was a possible relief for Titus in Crete. He was a definite relief for Timothy in Ephesus. Tychicus is frequently mentioned as a possible candidate for the anonymous brother of 2 Corinthians 8, verses 18 and 22. Frequently mentioned as a possible candidate for the brother in 2 Corinthians 8, 18 and 22. It's not my theory, but it is commonly referenced. Mostly because he was with Paul's team at this stage on the second missionary journey and the third missionary journey. And the description that's made here means that he's a trustworthy fellow. Second Corinthians chapter 8. All right, remember I said a few minutes ago, were you listening? When was where was 2 Corinthians written? Where was Paul when he wrote 2 Corinthians? Nope, he had left Ephesus after the uproar. He'd gone to Macedonia, and it was in the Macedonian regions when he was finally reunited with Titus that he finishes 2 Corinthians, that he started while he was still in Ephesus. And so, but he does get a report from Titus, and he's thrilled that now Titus has reported, Titus is alive and well, Titus says good things about the Corinthians. So thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you of his own accord. So Titus is the one that carries 2 Corinthians back to Corinth. Titus is the courier that hands them the scroll that is 2 Corinthians. And we have sent along with him the famous brother. We have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the gospel has spread through all the churches. Who's that? Okay. And there's legends and traditions and ideas. But Luke is usually thought of, and this is where the rumor came that Luke and Titus were brothers, that Titus was clearly Gentile, and for the folks that were really trying to reinforce Luke and Gentileness, they appealed to this by making Luke the anonymous brother of the Gentile Titus, whose fame in the things of the gospel. I don't know how you can get more gospel famous than to write a gospel. Okay, Luke wrote the gospel of Luke. That would be pretty famous in the things of the gospel. Spread through all the churches. Not only this, but he's been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our readiness. So if you're going to send a bunch of funds, if Austin Bible Church was going to send, let me just throw a figure out there, we were going to send somebody with $50,000 cash in small unmarked bills. Okay? Who would we pick to do that? No one's raising their hand. Who would we pick? Who would we not pick to do that? No one's raising their hand. Oh, someone's pointing. All right. But the point being, this is a significant trip. And you want to send somebody trustworthy, somebody that has a reputation, someone for that is well known as a faithful, devout servant of the Lord. And then there's verse 22. We have sent with them our brother. So here's another anonymous brother. Who's this guy? Our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things. So you don't send somebody that's never been tested, not for something like this. You get them doing other things, small things. If you're faithful in little things, you can get trusted with big things. We've often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. He's got the background, he's got the training, he's got the preparation, and he is jazzed about his Corinthian confidence. And Paul just says, you're right. That's divine guidance. You've got to be on this mission. So we sent him also. We don't know who the brother is in verse 18, the gospel famous brother. We don't know who the tested and diligent brother is in verse 22. Some lump them together and say it's the same guy, but I don't think that's right. I think there's one brother in verse 18, one brother in verse 22. And they're not named. But legend has Tychicus being one of these two guys. Who knows? Church traditions or legends have Tychicus being the first bishop of Colophon. You ever heard of Colophon? It's actually a town. It's also an expression. It's a grammatical expression for margin notes that scribes put in manuscripts. They can put little colophons in and make side notes in their manuscripts. Anyway, there's a town with this name. And it's north of Thyatira, somewhere there in Asia Minor. That he suffered a martyr's death. First bishop of Colophon suffering a martyr's death. And one of my newer books in my library is Richard Losch, All the People in the Bible. There we go. An Ephesian whom Paul described as a dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, he with Onesimus delivered Paul's letter from Ephesus to the Christians in Colossae. So you'll notice this author also agrees with me that the origin of the Colossian epistle is Ephesus, not Rome. Tychicus was charged with bringing to the Ephesians all the news about Paul's experiences in Rome. Oh, there we go. Wrong. While he awaited trial before Nero. So it's interesting. He's got different origins for Colossians and Ephesians. Tychicus may have been designated by Paul to replace Titus in Crete. Some interpreters believe that he is the brother in 2 Corinthians 8:18. It is an ancient tradition that he became the bishop of Colophon and that he died a martyr. But there's no documentary evidence to support this. So we just take Eusebius at his word. We take some of the other legends. If the legend doesn't involve Rome, it's more believable. Okay? A legend that references Colophon is very believable. Who's going to lie about Colophon? Okay? But all the legends about Rome are automatically in dispute because, remember, there was a push in the early church to give prestige to the Roman bishop, to try to center all authority in the Roman Catholic Church. And so there's tons of legends about, like, Peter dying in Rome on a cross upside down. I don't believe any of that, okay? But that's the legend, that's the tradition, there's no evidence anywhere that Peter was ever in Rome, except the Catholic legend that says he was their first pope, okay? But you go to 1 and 2 Peter, and it seems like Peter went to Babylon, okay? Which makes sense to me, that the apostle to the Gentiles went to the Gentile world headquarters, and the apostle to the Jews went to Babylon, because there were more Jews in Babylon than there were in Jerusalem. Why we have a Babylonian Talmud. Anyway. Ooh, that was a rabbit trail. Get me off of that. So this is Tychicus, a big hero to me. Let's talk about Onesimus. Useful. The second courier is Onesimus. Onesimus. Now think about all the shocks that could happen. First of all, him just walking in is a shock. And then having him mentioned in the scroll is a shock. You know, if you think about somebody that left a location under dubious circumstances years ago and then just shows up one day, well, he's got some splaining to do, okay? You got to find out, well, what are you doing here? You can't just come back and think everything's normal after what you did. And so this also becomes a blessing. This and the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon gives you the whole story on this. Onesimus. The E is an Eta, so it'd be Onesimus. Onesimus. Or Onesimus. Means useful. He was the epistle courier for Colossians and Philemon. He had to carry his own explanation document to his former slave master. Philemon was his former slave master. Philemon and his wife were the hosts of the church in Colossae. Not the pastor, but the host. It was in their home. He had enough property. He had a large enough house, a large enough residence, a large enough building of some sort that a congregation could assemble in his home. Makes sense. He was a slave owner. He had other properties. He had other wealth. Paul's willing to make good on whatever the price is that Onesimus stole from. Anyway, he's the epistle courier for the Colossians and for the book of Philemon. He was a runaway slave and thief, the featured subject for the book of Philemon. The runaway slave and thief, featured subject for the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon is 25 verses long, and you really get the bulk of his backstory in verses 10 through 18. The bulk for Onesimus' backstory in verses 10 through 18. We have time this morning. We can look at that. Let's do that. Philemon 10. All right, we get past the first 9 verses. Get past a lot of doctrine in those 9 verses. Let me just get to the address here. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. So it's a prison epistle co-authored by Paul and Timothy. We can relate it very well with Colossians. We can relate it very well with Ephesians. We can relate it very well with that third missionary journey. Not so much with the fourth missionary journey or a Roman origin. To Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, we believe Philemon and Apphia are husband and wife, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, stay tuned, because Archippus gets mentioned in the greetings of Colossians chapter 4. We believe that Archippus is the pastor of that church. But it starts off with Philemon and Apphia, then Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Okay, Philemon's house. Grace to you and peace. All right, so that's these are the recipients of this letter. It's a personal letter to Philemon, the man, but it also mentions his wife, not really necessary for political reasons, but interesting, and the pastor of the church. All three, they get named in this. But whether Onesimus lives or dies is entirely Philemon's call. Philemon can crucify Onesimus as a thief and a runaway slave. But all three are mentioned in the epistle. All right. We get down. We find out that he has an encouragement ministry. The fellowship of his faith is effective. He has a fellowship ministry, which makes sense, and hospitality for hosting the church in your home. Much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. The hearts of the saints. What's going to happen when Onesimus and Tychicus report? Their hearts are going to be refreshed. This is a ministry that Tychicus, or that Philemon, has been doing for years. All right. He says, I have confidence in the Lord. I could order you to do what's proper, but I'm not going to order you to do anything. I'm just, for love's sake, I'm going to appeal to you. I'm going to parakala you. I'm going to come alongside, put my arm on your shoulder. Since I'm such a person as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. All right, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. Notice he doesn't say, I appeal to you for your runaway slave that stole from you. I appeal to you for my child, whom I begotten in my imprisonment. He got saved. How awesome is that? That this runaway slave, thief, of all the places he could hide or disappear to, who does he run into? And we don't know if Paul was a free man in Ephesus or a prisoner in Ephesus. Did Onesimus meet him as a free man or meet him as a prisoner? We don't know. But it was in that locality, and they came face to face, and Onesimus got saved. What are the coincidences of that? But I've begotten in my imprisonment. I think Onesimus was also in jail. Who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. And this is a fun play on words because his name means useful. But he wasn't useful. He was totally useless. A runaway slave that stole from you is worse than useless. He was formerly useless to you, but now he's useful, both to you and to me. So his name actually means something now, for real. And I've sent him back to you in person that is sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me. You know, there's some people you just want to keep in jail longer so you can keep them with you, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. Anyway, this is the backstory. Another clue, I'm out of time. Think about why. Perhaps he was separated from you for a while. Notice, he was separated from you. Notice how third person that is, how passive that is. Paul's trying to get Philemon to think about what's God doing this whole process. Don't think about what Onesimus did. What's God doing in all of this? You're going to get him back as a brother. Then in verse 18, if he has wronged you or in any way or owes you anything, this is our clue that he was a thief, that he stole, because he wronged and there is a debt. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. You know what this is? This is substitutionary atonement. This is Jesus Christ willing to pay any price in our place, because we're the ones that deserve death. But charge that to my account. What a kinsman redeemer. What a picture of redemption. I'm out of time. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for Tychicus and Onesimus. I pray that we learn, from these examples, and we can see how formerly useless people can be very useful in service. And Father, that's all of us. Formerly useless as unbelievers, but now useful, prepared for good works, saved unto good works which were prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Open our eyes to these truths. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.